piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner or a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Father, we want to thank you this morning that all we do, feeble children of dust, even those of us who are redeemed, we have no strength except your strength. And we thank you, Father, that we can, by faith, believe you are here. Yea, the Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. As I stand here, you are in me. And you're in the hearts of everyone this morning who has come to saving faith in Christ. May we be open to your word, not just to hear it, but to live it out. Why? Because we want to glorify your name. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for your great and wondrous gift. Amen. I want to thank you all. I thank Richly especially for that little clip that he did earlier about New Year's thoughts. Very, very fitting with what I want to share. Hope you have your Bible this morning, because we're definitely going to use them. And I would ask you please to open your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. I'll wait a minute for you to get there. If you need a title, it is simply Follow Christ. As we entertain and contemplate the new year, whether we like it or not, the new year is sort of like a new chapter in our lives. It's another chapter. I like New Year's because, for me, I'm so needy and I have so many areas and avenues that I need to improve in my life. It sort of gives me a little incentive. I'm going to do better this year. Actually, we're going to use Paul as an example. Follow Christ. Paul could. That means you should follow Christ. Frankly, if I got no farther, if that was it, it's almost it, but it isn't going to be, because you got me for at least half an hour. But if that was it, and you lived that out, you would have a year before you as a child of God like you've never had. Amen. Follow Christ. And what I've said this morning, we'll read in Scripture, is that Paul could, he did. And you and I should. The message this morning is really important, because I am so needy. I need it. I need it so desperately. I've told you before, every time at a certain age, you think, now I'm 25. I know, dark ages. Now I'm 30, now I'm 40, now I'm 50, now I'm 60, now I'm 70, and now I'm beyond. All these things are settled. It is just a coast to heaven from that point forward. And it doesn't work out that way, because none of us really are following the Lord like we should do. We want to talk about that today. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. Prior to that, in several passages, he said, follow the Lord, follow the Lord, follow me. But in this one, in this one passage, he ties his walk, his life, with that of Christ. Follow me, even as I am of Christ, even as I am of Christ. I don't know about you, but I like to keep up on what's going on. Some of the leaders in our country, this one, that one. I need heroes. I need somebody that is walking closer to God than me, that I can look up to. And even though Paul sets the bar high, I mean, it's high. Be followers of me, even as I am of Christ.
Now, that's not the proclamation of a bold or a proud or a prideful man. Actually, it's quite humble. Because in another way, he's saying, only follow me insofar as I am following Christ. And so I hope today that you will see Paul as a real champion for Christ. Not in a Somerset, oh, hello, he was 2,000 years ago. Yeah, I feel sorry for you, so was Jesus. Okay? So, I hope you relate to Jesus. And if you can relate to him, you can relate to the Paul. The Bible is older than that. I like that old saying, and again, I wish I was 12 saying this, but I'm not. Winston Churchill said, the farther back you can look, the further forward you can see. Please don't be so quick to cast aside those who have given their lives, their blood in the past, because they're not a celebrity, even Christian celebrity today. Far better to set the standard high and emulate someone, and you're not going to come far off. Someone who could say, I can't. I hope I can sometimes. But who could say, be followers of me, even as I am of Christ. What a tremendous prospect it would be for the new year if we could do that. Matthew Poole had this to say about this particular text. He says, the modesty of the apostle is remarkable here, who requires of his people no further to follow him than as he followed Christ. Nor indeed ought any man to require more of those that are under his charge than to follow him so far as he imitates the Lord Jesus Christ. Fathers, husbands, mothers, wives, I know this is a little cliche, do as I say, not as I do. Paul is saying, do as I say and as I do. I don't know about you. Maybe I'm the most needy person here, but boy, I say a lot. Carol would agree. I say a lot. I was so blessed the other day. Someone who really has gotten to know me, who was it? It was such a blessing to me. I'd only met this person very briefly, and he said, you know, it's really something just, well, he said it inspires me, but something that really touches me about you is as I know you and I know your history, you're an introvert. You're a loner. And I am. And yet you talk and talk to strangers and all the rest. And that's because I have something to say, but it is true. I'm a loner without the Spirit of God within me. But I want to say this to you. You come Sunday after Sunday. I'm looking at some faces now, and I'm going to talk to you more, hopefully, more precisely about your salvation later. You come here, you sit, you look nice, you look comfortable, you smile, and yet you wonder. Some of you are sitting here this morning, I've never heard from your lips if you're even saved. I mean, saying it doesn't save you, but you know, if I was standing before you today and I was cured of cancer because I took a magic pill, I have an idea that you'd probably know about that magic pill. I'm sure that lets you know. But you know, Paul says, be followers of me. In this study, we're going to follow him in that regards. We will examine the life of Paul as he reveals himself. He's really very transparent. As he reveals himself, whenever he refers to himself as I do this, or I believe that, or I'm doing this, then we're going to follow him along. And in so doing, we're going to find biblical principles that we can apply to our lives, and live out. Paul was so transparent. He said, I'm not saying it. I'm not saying it for me. But he said, be followers of me, even as I am of Christ. So, boy, this is neat. Let's see. Let's follow him this morning. The standard is high. The bar is high. But he said, and you and I can say the same, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I don't know where you're coming from. You don't really know me. But I know this. If you sit here this morning and you leave this assembly this morning determined to follow Christ, we won't have to pray for a revival. It will be here. That's what revival is. It's God's people really living like God's people. It would be Don Clark really living like the ambassador for Christ. Tom said, we are. I am. So, let's start at the beginning. That's so very important. Open your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 9. I will wait. As much as possible, I'd like you to use your Bibles this morning. Acts chapter 9, verse 6. Paul started out right. You've got to start out right. Can you imagine going to a racetrack and you find that your horse is running in the paddock area and he thinks that's the racetrack? Chances of winning aren't very good. A child of God's got to start out right. This is very critical. I think the church has a great need of a little better understanding what that means. Acts chapter 9, verse 6, we all know that he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. He explains further in another context, later, Acts 22, that he understood. He said, who are you? And the response was, I'm Jesus. And then he said, well, Lord, what will you have me to do? He started out right. He understood clearly that the Savior, Jesus Christ, was his Lord. I don't know about you, but for me, boy, I'm so glad in the maze that I find in trying to navigate through the culture in which God has placed us, that I have a Lord. Oh, I'm telling you, I have someone that I can trust who will lead me aright. I'm not aimless. I feel sorry for those who are left to the whims of popularity rather than the convictions of principle, who are sort of going along living lives of convenience rather than lives of conviction. Oh, it's great. Simply establishing the fact that Christ is your Lord. You're not your own. That's not a negative. That's a wondrous positive to know that you have someone who will lead you aright. And I want you to know, it is non-negotiable. In this case, this is non-negotiable. I'll give you a silly example. I joined the Army when I was 18. Matter of weeks, I was on a bus to Fort Dix, New Jersey. Got the orders to get on the bus. I know I joined up. But you know my background, and you know I've sort of been a little tardy in my whole life. Mom doesn't say I have to go. I'll show up. I'll later on, when I mature a little bit, I'll show up at Fort Dix. Later on, I get to Fort Dix and say, okay, we decided that you should be, after 8 weeks, thank God I didn't have to go back through it again, after 8 weeks of being treated like the scum of the earth, Fort Belvoir, Virginia. We've decided that you'll make a good heavy equipment mechanic and operator. Oh, good night. What a mistake that was. But nonetheless, it's automatic. I joined up. I'm an Army. I took on the name of the United States Army. And from that point forward, the Army had control of my life. That is not negotiable. That is not something you grow into over months or years, hopefully, bless his heart. Now, don't get me wrong. Now, this is a serious issue, because if we got someone here, you know, I've seen it. You say to someone who's quote-unquote a Christian, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to commit adultery, or are you going to maintain your purity? Come on. There's no choice but to follow the Lord. The Lordship of Christ needs to be so emphasized. It is not something later on, 20 years, 15 years, 5 years, or 5 months down the road, you pray, you know, I want to make you Lord of my life. That is ridiculous. You believe on Christ. You take him for all he is. Believe on the Lord Jesus now. Does that mean perfection? Of course not. But if you don't start out wanting to do the Lord's will, you start out that way and we still fall. We still get muddied. We still make mistakes. Sin is not a word we use too much, but we still make mistakes. The Bible says we sin still. Even Paul, but anyone. Lord, what do you want me to do this year? All I'm suggesting to you, I'm not talking about perfection. I am just saying that you need to start out that way. And if you're not starting out that way, you're done. You will not bring glory to God this year, because those who even say they will do that, we stumble. Why is it that I had greater loyalty to the United States Army than many seem to have to their Lord? Like it's a take it or leave it. Dear friends, it isn't. One of the greatest decisions. Can you imagine Grace Bible Church if everyone else left this morning determined? And by the way, if you're not saved, you need to get saved first. You can't do this if you're not saved. It's all done in the power of the Holy Spirit. I am going to do what God wants me to do this year. That's how Paul started. Lord, what will you have me to do? Don't turn here, but in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 5, he's speaking there, and he says, I am the Lord's. Now, that's not a shocking statement. If you know Christ, I'm the Lord's. Matthew Henry has this to say about this. And again, you've got to start here. If you think that you can just have a little silly face and smile and sort of like, I don't know, with regards to honoring Christ and doing his will, you're done. I don't mean you lose your salvation, but there'll be no victory. You've got, because if you start out right, you still will stumble, but you haven't even started yet. If Christ is not Lord that you acknowledge and that so far as you can, you want to do his will. Matthew Henry said, the Lord has an incontestable right to rule me. And I submit to him in all his commands, to all his disposal, I am and ever will be his only, his holy, W-H, his forever. I will be his for his interest. I'll be for his praise. I'll be for living for him. I will be for dying for him, because no matter what, I will be and I am the Lord's. And again, as I say that, I know my voice is firm, and compared to some of the wonderful, even levity that we've had earlier, might seem, whoa, what a, you straight-laced. Well, you can see me home wearing my jeans, but nonetheless, Paul says, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. And at the very beginning, there was no doubt in his mind as to who was in charge. Does that not make sense? Somebody raise their hand and say yes. Somebody say amen. Okay, well, thank you. Thank you. That's how he started. And then it builds up from there. Galatians 2:20, please turn there. This is, I don't know if it's really new to you, but these are the things, Galatians 2:20, these are the principles that he held to so that later he could say, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ, Galatians 2:20. Without this in place, he couldn't say these. He couldn't say it. Galatians 2:20. Such a great need here. He said, I am, present tense, crucified with Christ. He says, I'm dead. I don't exist anymore. I'm dead. You know, I do think for those of you who are involved in evangelism, we need to stress this a little bit more. We need to stress the fact that, yeah, thank God, invite Jesus into your heart, and I'm not diminishing that. I'm not diminishing that your sins are forgiven and you're going to heaven, but I think we need to let the people know at that initial, their first breath into the body of Christ that they now have a Lord to live for. Not to, you don't obey him to get saved, but they need to know. Hold it. And that's not unusual. It's just we read it in scripture. I'm crucified with Christ. And then this is great. Nevertheless, I live. It isn't like, oh, I'm dead. Nevertheless. No, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And he lived a life. And you can live a life of fullness, abundance, and joy. The world knows nothing of. One of the reasons God led us to the marina ministry, where we dealt with nothing normally than wealthy, intellectual people, was for this one reason. Or many, but this is one of the chief ones. Without apology, almost every week, they didn't come to Christ, but a wealthy person could come to me and say, phew, you seem to have meaning in your life. You seem to know where you're going. You seem to, and they're not talking about heaven. They just meant waking up in the morning, maybe confessing 1 John 1:9 right at the beginning of the day, but waking up and having meaning in your life. Because so many people who have wealth and all that comes with it, they don't have meaning. They can't say, nevertheless I live. They would say, nevertheless I exist. Yet not I, here we go, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. All right, he started out right. You've got to. I say this to you. I hope I made this clear. If you have come to saving faith in Christ, you are not to wait to some time in the future to acknowledge that Jesus Christ now has claims on you. He is your Lord. He owns you. And he has the right to do whatever he wants to do with you. He owns you. And that is nothing to be shunned, to be feared at all. So now, as we go on to the next, then, as you're going to grow, you've got to learn to say no to self. No, that's one of the greatest challenges. Everyone, I know the devil is real, and I'm not the one to diminish Satan, but do understand he's not omnipresent. Most of us here are not all that important to him. You know, the devil made me do it. Now, if you mean one of his demons influence you to do this, that, what have you, then that, but maybe you should say that, lest you inflate yourself in your importance. If I was Satan, I'd be stationed in D.C. I think he is. Friends, if you're a child of God, never say that. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And when you say, well, you know, the devil made me do it, or you sort of imply, now he's working on you, and he'll trick you, but he will never make you do anything you don't already want to do. Bank on that. Now, you may not think through the ramifications. You may, like you, a husband may be unfaithful because you want to do it, and you're not thinking about all the ramifications down the corridor of time, but at that point, you wanted to do that. So, deny self. We live in a day and age in which, you know, who was it? Martin Luther said, at certain, paraphrasing, but at certain points of time, the Christian people are stretched in certain different ways. You know, like, today, we're not tempted to take Christians, professing Christians that we disagree with and burn them at the stake. Right? I mean, that's not really something we're really dealing with. That's not something we're tempted to do. But you know what we're tempted to do? To be self-centered. We live in a self-centered, grabbing culture who has substituted God with government. And looking to government or someone else, all reaching, no denial, let alone sacrifice. Listen to what Charles Sheldon said. Now, Charles Sheldon wrote this book, In His Steps, and encouraged my heart. Anyone ever read that? Oh, three. Okay. Anyone ever read 1984 by George Orwell? Y'all should read that. I might really don't need to, just read the paper. Save the time. Listen to what he said. And you know, I want this to be palatable, but this is serious business. We're talking about, are we going to live for the Lord this year? Are we going to start out right? Am I going to start out right? You know, I fall on my face so many times, I know I'm going to start out right, and I flop. You wouldn't be the one living close to me if I wasn't at least starting out right. And we're all the same. Charles Sheldon said this, how much have we denied ourselves or given of our personal ease and pleasure to bless the place in which we live or imitate the life of the Savior of the world? Are we always, he says, and it's amazing how these old books apply today, are we always to go on doing as society selfishly dictates? Moving on its little round of pleasures, little rounds of entertainments, and never know the pain of things that cost. Never knowing the pain. And I would say the pleasure of things that cost. Follow the Lord, it will cost you. It could cost you a job. It could cost you any number of things. R.T. Williams said this. Now, when he says religion, back in those days, religion and Christianity were one and the same. You know, we didn't have all these other isms. But he said the religion that demands self-denial has never been popular. So I'm bringing, I knew it, talking about self-denial has never, ever, in this side of glory, unless we have revival, is not going to be a popular topic. And I'd be at the head of the line. Just come to see me when I'm in the midst of a football game. You're out there in the gate. Maybe you need to get saved. Where my first thoughts might be, oh my word, I just got comfortable. Turn it off. You know, one of the greatest things we have is so basic. But I can't believe how many Christian families do not have devotions. I don't understand that. But they don't. And helping families that come, then have regular time together in the Bible on a daily basis. It's such a neat thing. And there have been Christians who've known the Lord for years and never done that. And it's, woohoo, it's good. It's better than Disneyland. It really is great. And I had one the other day with someone, and he was there, and we're reading in Psalms, and he just started his family into these things. And he read where God delights in mercy. And he wrote, whoa. You know, I might give you mercy. Some of you give me mercy, but you're frowning while you're doing it. God delights. Think of the God we serve. God delights in mercy. What a blessing that is. He says the religion that demands self-denial has never been popular. It never can be popular. A religion that comes into conflict with customs, ethics, and the pleasures of the human heart will immediately meet opposition. And so as we think of denying self as absolutely imperative, this is what Paul did. Clearly. Look at all Paul gave up. Think about it. I mean, in today's culture, Paul would be someone, you flip on PBS, they have this guy coming up there, and he's a big dignitary, and of course he'd be a lost liberal theologian, of which there are tons, but he gets up there and he's very austere, and the population of people, they're just, wow, what a guy. And he gave all that aside. He lost all that. And became like the filth of the earth to most of the religious people of his day. Say, wow, he would not be a bad guy to try to model your life after. Self, however, the second point always comes in. I guess we'll stop here. I think I've shared this before, but remember how self is. There was a certain lady, and she had a little daughter. They're staying at the home of an old friend. Now, in the bedroom wall, just over the head of the bed in which they slept, there was a picture of the Lord Jesus just over the bed, which was reflected in a large mirror, which was on the dresser. You got the picture? Picture of Jesus. And as she looked, she could see the reflection of Jesus in the mirror on the dresser. Now, when the little girl woke up, she saw the picture reflected in the mirror, and while she was still laying in bed, she exclaimed, "Oh, Mommy, I can see Jesus!" I'll pause for a moment to share with you my prayer for me this morning. I know I'm animated. I know I'm excited. I know I'm thrilled. I know I'm honored to be here and all that goes with it. But I do want you to know, right now, my life verses change. But for years it's been 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants. For Jesus' sake. And I mean that sincerely, even as you think of his ranch.
Anyway, she said, "Oh, Mommy, I can see Jesus." Then she quickly kneeled up to take a closer look. In so doing, she brought herself, her own body, between the picture and the mirror, so that instead of seeing the picture of Jesus reflected, she now saw herself. Got that? She gets up. Oh, she sees herself. And now she says, as she laid back down again, she saw the picture of Jesus once again, and she said, "Mommy, when I can't see myself, I can see Jesus." When I can't see myself, I can see Jesus. That's from a book written in 1960 by J. Sidlow Baxter, "Awake My Heart." Well, I guess what I'm going to do is knock off until 11:30. This is 2 of 15 points. I'd only plan to get 8. I got 2. We'll discuss these 2 at Sunday school hour at 11:30. And if we finish them, I'd like to go on to a couple more. One of them I kind of have some humor with reference to your pastor. But so you will indicate to me whether or not you want to hear that based on how long you drag the questions out, okay? So from 11:30 until 12, that will be it. We'll be meeting right here to continue. But I do hope and pray, I say this sincerely, that you understand that this is only for children of God. I didn't get there this morning. I wanted to get there to Romans chapter 10. Because Paul starts out by saying, "My heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved." And I want you to know something. If you've never come to faith in Christ, you have not only started out wrong, you're lost. You're not even in the race at all. Most of you I've seen Sunday after Sunday as we hear. So I'm assuming you all profess to know the Lord. But I want to tell you something. If you're just sitting here because you're a nice guy or a nice gal,
Maybe a guy comes because of the wife, or the wife comes because of what, I don't know. But you have no assurance that you'll make it after you walk out this door. And as I remember telling one man who came to my office who had been going to a church like yours, hearing the word, very strong invitations every Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And yet, there was no interest there in things of God. The Baptist pastor said, Don, will you see this guy? I can't do a thing with him. So stubborn. So I asked him if he was saved. He said, no. And I told him this. I said his name, and I looked in his eyes like I'm looking at George right now, and I said, you know, I took him to a passage in the Bible where these people were saying, well, you know, make it, we'll paraphrase. I go to, went to church Sunday after Sunday. I provide for my wife and family, and I don't even hardly swear anymore. And I'm going to give up cigarettes fairly soon. And people in my neighborhood, I went and mowed the guy's lawn. And they looked at Jesus, and Jesus said, depart from me, the workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I can hardly think of anything worse to hear this pastor and others who have come before me preach Sunday after Sunday and after Sunday about the unsearchable riches of Christ and the free offer of salvation through receiving Christ as your Savior. Then to hear that, somehow or another, by osmosis, you kind of think that makes you a Christian. And you'll wake up in eternity. Well, you know what? We could talk about how literal hell is all day long. I'm not going to go there. But this is hell enough for me. To wake up in eternity with the knowledge you thought you were going to heaven and you woke up in hell. I personally would rather die as an atheist than to die as someone who thinks they're going to heaven and wake up in eternity and find out you have not. Remember, we're not talking about a religion. We're not talking about, you know, eventually I'm going to get there. This is non-negotiable. He that hath the Son hath life. I'm not picking on you, Tom, because I know where you're coming from. But there are some things that are non-negotiable. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. For the rest of us, start out. Don't take this as a drudgery. It's great. Aren't you glad some of our political leaders, whether they're on the left or on the right, you have not said, wow, I'm going to really follow them. But you can follow Paul insofar as we read about him in the Bible. And that will be a joy. That will bring fulfillment. And glory to God. You, poor, wretched sinner that you are, will be enabled to glorify the Creator of the universe. That is something else, I'll tell you. It really is. Tom Smith, my old cadet buddy, I'm going to ask us all to stand. And Tom, I'm going to ask you to close in prayer. But I'm telling you, friend, if you're here and you're not saved, you got George, Judy Jackson here, Brian, myself, Pastor. Write down in your heart, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He died for you. Well, he came for you. He died for you. He rose again for you. And he's coming back again for us who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. If you want to be in the latter, you need to place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Any doubt, I just love to talk with you, for there's other godly people that would it. Don't leave not knowing this morning.